Okay, so we're taking a look at the transfer of trillions and how it would impact us. Again, the Tax Policy Center found that the lion's share of the spending reductions necessary to pay for the tax cuts would need to come from programs that benefit low and middle income households, costing those households far more than the tax cuts would help them. The low income and middle income households would be offered tax cuts, but they'd also end up having to pay for their tax cuts and for the tax cuts of the millionaires. And by the time the low income and middle income households finished paying for those tax cuts, what they'd receive in tax cuts would be outweighed by what they'd have taken from them. And this makes it all but certain that once offset, the Trump plan would effectively necessitate the transfer of trillions of dollars over the next decade from low and middle income households to millionaires. An examination of the spending cuts in the budget that the Republican majority on the House Budget Committee approved in March supports that conclusion. That plan calls for $6 trillion in program cuts over the next decade. And it's only 2/3 of the cuts that would be needed just to offset the costs of the Trump plan without reducing the deficit. The center's analysis shows that the House Republican budget plan would secure a vastly disproportionate 62% of its budget cuts from programs for low and moderate income people, cutting such programs by $3.7 trillion over the next decade. It's so important for us to really be thinking through this whole issue of being excited about cutting taxes, cutting taxes, cutting taxes. In other words, cutting revenues, cutting revenues, cutting revenues. In other words, cutting the income that is used to give middle-income and low-income households the support that they need because their income isn't great enough. Remember, income inequality is a very, very real part of our lives. And remember, for decades, income for middle income and low-income households has not been allowed to keep up with the cost of living, what it takes to live. Our income has not kept up with that. And we're talking now about transferring trillions more dollars from middle income and low income, dollars that would be used to support these two groups of Americans in order to ensure that millionaires and higher are able to keep more of their money. That's what this comes down to. These cuts are more than twice the size of the Trump's tax cuts to the bottom 3/5 of households and at least 7 times the size of the tax cuts to the bottom 2/5 of the population. How many of us really care enough about people that when we hear something like this, we at least become very concerned? These households, the bottom 3/5, the bottom 2/5, would likely fare still worse under the Trump plan, which would require an additional $3.2 trillion in program cuts over and above the $6 trillion in cuts in the House Budget Committee plan, just to offset the costs of their tax cuts. And that's without balancing the budget. We haven't even talked about the spending cuts to the middle income and the low income that will become part of the picture in order to also balance the budget. How else could the $3 trillion be used? You could compare the magnitude of the Trump tax cuts to millionaires costing the government again more than $3 trillion over a decade and producing a revenue loss of more than 1.5% of GDP in 2026, to alternative policies that would provide significant benefit to the broad population. Now, this isn't to suggest that there's an extra $3 trillion in the government's coffers just waiting to be spent. It is to suggest that if policymakers wanted to devote this level of resources, which ultimately would have to be offset, to a new policy initiative, there are more beneficial alternatives that would warrant consideration. For example, when it comes to exceeding the cost of ensuring Social Security and Medicare solvency over the next 75 years. Secondly, being significantly larger than the entire poverty gap, which is the total amount of income needed to raise every individual who lives in poverty to the poverty line, not above it. They're in poverty, to get them to the poverty line. These trillions of dollars we are talking about would be more than necessary to raise everyone who is living in poverty up to the poverty line. In 2014, the latest year for which this information is available, the official poverty gap equaled 1.1% of GDP. Now, I like their honesty and their clarity here. They're not suggesting that poverty could be entirely eliminated with additional annual expenditures of 1.1% of GDP. Efforts to close the poverty gap necessarily entail increasing assistance to those just above the poverty line as well. But this does suggest that an anti-poverty effort costing 1.6% of GDP would dramatically reduce poverty. It would be more than seven times those $1 trillion that would be going to the millionaires, would be more than seven times the total resources that the federal government devotes to medical research, which now is 0.2% of GDP. The large majority of such research occurs through the National Institutes for Health, and doubling the amount of resources for medical research could advance the nation's capacity to respond to ailments such as heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and might improve health and extend lives for millions of people. Why isn't that alternative more attractive to the people who are saying, let's give these tax cuts to the millionaires and let the middle income and low income just suffer? Those trillions of dollars would be larger than the amount of funding needed to repair the nation's crumbling infrastructure. We're still hearing about bridges falling, roads being eaten up, and not just because of floods, but because of neglect, a refusal to provide the funding that could get the job done. Instead, a lot of our leaders keep saying we need to cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. And some of these leaders always look for ways to shift those monies to the wealthy and hurt the middle class and the poor at the same time in the process, when we could be spending money on medical research, which would help rich people who get sick and contract diseases just as well as it could help middle class and low income people who contract diseases. It could fix these crumbling roads and bridges that would help rich people just as much as it would help poor and middle income people. There's broad consensus that the nation's roads, bridges, water systems, and other infrastructure require substantial repair and modernization. And I just want to remind you that even though we had the vast majority, in fact, all, either all or definitely over 90% of our Republican elected officials in Washington to vote no to President Obama's plan to pay for the repairing of our roads, building of new roads, taking care of our bridges, etc., those same Republicans have been pushing hard behind the scenes to get that same type of those same types of projects underway on a regional basis. They just didn't want President Obama to receive credit for having this done for our nation. And they wanted it for the same reasons. It would bolster the income. It would strengthen American families' incomes. It would bolster the economy. It would make our roads safer. It would improve transportation. All the things we heard President Obama say, Republicans behind the scene say the same thing. My point is, there really is agreement that this needs to be done. I'll be right back.